Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Over the last decade, Dog TV has evolved from a Cox Cable San Diego oddity to an international showcase catering to dogs, their owners, and the rest of us. What's ahead for 2022 and beyond? Founder and Chief Creative Officer Ron Levy joins me next. Stars has a new horror com on its hands with Shining Veil, co-starring Courtney Cox, Ray Kinnear, and Mira Sorvino. We'll have an internet radio exclusive encounter with co-creator and executive producer Jeff Astroff next half hour. A neat kind of business transformation comes to CNBC tomorrow night via No Retreat Business Bootcamp. Our second hour begins with executive producer Nicole Elliott. And ATTV hails a group of local Good Samaritans on Build It Forward starting this Saturday. Co-host and renovator Matt Glashaw will come our way later this hour, or certainly later next hour, joined by Discovery Senior Vice President Freddie James. Also ahead, Crackle cracks open more original series, the Muppets Next TV series, and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. On this Monday afternoon, we welcome you to a big two-hour edition of the program about TV's current and future. Believe it or not, 71 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Happy you're aboard for the ride, and boy, what a ride we've got for you. Lots of great guests along the way, and we invite you to interact with them. How? Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. Chat room is open as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can be part with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon somewhere in your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people will be live and interactive with you. And we'll be interacting with Ron Levy from Dog TV. He will join us live from Hoboken, New Jersey, after these news notes. Crackle, the mega content outlet under Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, is flexing new muscles over producing new scripted series. New venture Strong Studios, through Chicken Soup Unit Screen Media, has agreed to make a batch of Crackle originals, starting with Michael Rapaport's starring dramedy and graphic novel adaptation, Safe Haven. Both programs will start filming this summer. Additional series announcements are forthcoming. Well, get ready for a music-minded Muppets series reaching Disney+. The Muppets Mayhem, that's the name of the series, will feature a Muppets rock group, The Electric Mayhem, as they pursue the recording of their first studio album. Now, if the name is familiar, this is the music makers that were first featured 45 years ago on the syndicated hit The Muppet Show. Lily Singh will play the band's manager, and Adam F. Goldberg of ABC's The Goldbergs will be a co-writer and executive producer. The Walking Dead series universe keeps expanding. For 2023, AMC will premiere Isle of the Dead, set in apocalyptic Manhattan, all now inhabited by Maggie and Negan. That's the two twosome, the TWD twosome, Walking Dead twosome, played by Lauren Cohan and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. 6 episodes are planned. Now, quickies. Season 2 of Russian Doll hits Netflix April 20th. Apple TV Plus will now be available to Comcast cable customers through Xfinity and appear on the company's X-Class line of smart TV sets that was introduced last fall. Tennis Channel launched spin-off service T2 exclusively on Samsung smart TV sets earlier today. More new ad-supported channels are in the works, a Samsung executive disclosed to Variety. Two more Secrets of Playboy episodes will debut later this month on A&E. Secrets is the channel's most watched series since 2017. Grown-ish will get a 5th season on Freeform. And Reservation Dogs was named Best New Scripted Series during last night's Independent Spirit Awards. Black and Missing was picked up Best New Non-Scripted Series at that same ceremony. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Hoboken, New Jersey, the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV, Ron Levy. Ron, great to have you with us. Come in, Ron. Ron, are you there? All right, for some reason, we are having a little issue with Ron's line. Ron, give us a call back, 646-652-2906. And Ron, as soon as I see you're on our computer screen and ready to go on, we will get you on. So, give us a call back, 646-652-2906, and we will put you on. And coming up near the top of the hour, we're going to have the answer to our classic trivia question that we've had over the last 2 weeks. And then stay tuned because near the end of our second hour, a brand new question, now two prizes in play. All right, let's try again. Joining us live from Hoboken, New Jersey, the creator and chief content officer at Dog TV, Ron Levy. Ron, great to have you aboard.
Hey, Simon. How are you, man?
Very
can you hear me?
You know, we covered Dog TV when your service was just on Cox Cable in San Diego, and I'm sure there were a lot of people, if they tuned into the show at that time, who were probably wondering, is this really for real, or is this something that's going to turn out to be a Fulton's Folly for television?
I think that was the reaction of so many people when we started in February 2012, so a decade ago, when people weren't sure what to think of this little thing, a little channel for dogs to watch. But I think a lot has changed in the past 10 years, and, you know, it grew very nicely, and we're carried by most providers in the States and in many countries around the world. So I think people are starting to take Dog TV a little more serious now, and we couldn't be happier.
What turned the tide? What made this go from being something that your detractors might call an oddity, a freak show, you know, this is, you know, videos just for dogs, and now it's a service that's available on smart TV sets and smart devices, not just in the United States, but throughout North America, other countries as well, and it's really become a service that is not just about dogs, it's also a service that dog owners and the rest of us human beings can watch.
That's correct. I mean, first of all, we started as a channel for dogs only to watch. And to your question, I think we put a lot of effort into creating the right content. We studied so many years of 3.5 years of dogs and all the studies from universities around the world about anything to do with dogs, the way they see the world, the colors, the sound, the music, the memory, the behavior. We put a lot of effort into creating the right content. So when we started off, people weren't sure how people are going to react to it, if it's a gimmick, if it's a joke. But I think it really helped so many dogs, especially in the U.S., with stuff like stress and separation anxiety. And because it was the right kind of content, dogs reacted to it the way we hoped they would. And we created an amazing Dream Team advisory board and worked with all these huge pet organizations. So people could not take this more seriously than they did, and I think it grew from there. So, you know, when we launched, I just wanted to launch the channel, you know, but all my, you know, team members and all that said, let's do it right, let's take our time, let's study all the dog science and all that, because we didn't come from the world of dogs at all. We came from the TV world. So we just took our time, and 3.5 years of studying, we launched in San Diego, like you said, like a little test pilot in that place, in Time Warner Cable and Cox. And it worked really well. Dogs reacted so well. And then we launched nationwide 2013 on DirecTV. And since then, we grew on Xfinity and Dish and RCN. And, of course, like you said, OTT channels, you know, Amazon Fire and Apple TV and all those. And, yeah, like you just said, I mean, we started to get a lot of amazing reaction from dog parents saying, hey, this is all cool, but what about ourselves? Why only our dogs can watch this thing? So we started to create shows for dog parents to watch, and we have a new series launching just today called The Dog Chef. So there's a lot going on Dog TV right now for dogs and their parents.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into The Dog Chef and some of the other original shows that you're doing or are going to do, is the channel running on a subscription basis, or are you taking in advertiser support?
Well, Simon, unfortunately, dogs don't have credit cards, so we can't really place ads. I mean, we might come up with a credit card for dogs one day, but for now, there's no ads on Dog TV. It's a premium paid channel. People pay for it either on OTT or on their cable provider or satellite.
Well, then let's ask this, because you now have a lot of advertisers who are getting into the dog market in various ways. There's more dog products, whether it's dog food, whether it's particularly in an area of organic or natural dog food. Mm-hmm. There's chains like PetSmart. There's websites like Chewy that give you online delivery of pet food and other pet supplies. Is there, if you're not going to take advertising, is there any way that you can involve the advertiser community in the programming?
Yeah, I mean, Dog TV is currently working with, I would say, more than 100 pet brands in the pet market. The pet market is huge. It's growing every year, and we're proud to be kind of the center of it. We're the biggest content creator in that field. So we work with everybody, the brands that you just mentioned, and a lot of other companies. The way we work with them, there's several ways, you know, partnerships or product placements or stuff like that. I did say that we can't advertise for dogs because dogs don't spend money, but their parents certainly do. And now that we have all these amazing shows for dog parents too, there's different opportunities out there for different brands to work with Dog TV on different, if it's a partnership or if it's a paid opportunity. So if you're a pet brand, talk to us. There's a lot going on.
Dog TV is now in its second decade, and as part of the second decade, it's not just available on cable and satellite systems all over the country. It's also available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, both domestically and internationally. We're hearing Ron Levy. He is the founder and chief creative officer of the service, which is independently owned and operated, and he joins us live from Hoboken, New Jersey this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Albon with you live from New York, 71 degrees at the top of this hour. If you have a question or comment for Ron, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we are doing this week. We're going to be with you again Wednesday and Friday at this very hour. We will keep you posted about who our guests will be for those episodes. We can tell you the next Monday on the program, reset from last Friday, we will have the head of Yada TV Network, Tara Merchant. Tara was supposed to be on our show this past Friday. As we told you on Friday, in case you didn't hear, late Thursday night, her father passed away. As we speak, she is still with her family in North Carolina, but we have communicated with her, and she will be with us next Monday. So next Monday, Tara Merchant from the news service, Yada TV Network, which is based here in New York, with studio space in Queens and a very big community outreach as well. You'll hear her next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. So let's talk about some of the original shows now, both for dogs and their owners. Talk about The Dog Chef. How long was this in the making?
So The Dog Chef started as a little show back in 2018, very short episodes, mainly for social media. You know, it was a trend back then of all the recipe cooking segments online on Facebook and stuff like that. So we did a similar thing for dogs. This is a guy called Kevin Matthews. He is The Dog Chef. He's got a restaurant and a bakery for dogs in Baltimore. And this is what he does for a living. And he's an amazing guy and a talent. So we did short episodes with him in 2018. And we just did it for social, but it became a huge hit. People started to not just watch it. They wanted the recipe book. So we created a recipe book, you know, and started to send it to everybody for free. And now we said, all right, let's do bigger. Let's go bigger. So we just launched today a 10-episode series, The Dog Chef Season 2, 20-minute episodes, and he goes to houses of people and fixes their dogs. He created amazing meals for their dogs. He, you know, different dogs and different conditions and different health issues and stuff like that, and he really does help. He's amazing, and the show is we couldn't be more proud of this show. But this is not the only show. We have a new show called Paws for Love, which is a travel show with dogs all across the country with a couple and their dog in an RV. I really love this show. And there's other things in the making right now. So I think, Simon, when COVID started, people started to discover Dog TV. More people were at home with their pets. And we weren't sure how this is going to work out because this is a channel to leave on for your dog when you're not there. And all of a sudden you are there. So what do you do? So luckily, people just discovered the channel and reached out to us, and they started to want more content for themselves as well. So that's when we started creating shows for people as well. Still, I would say the majority of the channel and its purpose is for dogs, to help dogs, you know, be a better and happier dog throughout the day. But now we have a lot of things going on for people. So I think, and a lot of it is free, by the way. You can just check it out, dogtv.com, and see for yourself. I think a lot of people will be very happy with it.
Going back to The Dog Chef, something that's very interesting about this series, it's not only about Matthews creating all sorts of different recipes for dogs, but it's also creating food that will specifically address a health issue that the dog has. For example, there's one episode where Matthews visits an owner who has a dog that's dealing with severe allergy attacks. Another one episode deals with heart problems. Other deals with bad breath. How does the individual situation that the dog and the dog owner is facing deal with, you know, what kind of recipes, what kind of food does Matthews prepare?
First of all, these are conditions that so many dog parents and their dogs have. This is not very special. A lot of people have different issues, from allergies to bad breath, with their dogs. So we just weren't sure if you can actually fix that or do something with it through food. And then Kevin came along and said, certainly we can. So by using really simple ingredients, stuff that people have at home anyway in their fridge, if it's berries or if it's, you know, broccoli or if it's whatever, you can actually create something that will be better and easier for your dog to digest and to basically improve their health. We always say, you know, consult with a veterinarian. Kevin is not one. However, we've seen an amazing result with some of these dogs with skin issues and allergies and stuff like that just because they change the diet. And I think everybody can do that. And that's what we're trying to do with this show. We're just giving you some ideas of what you can do at your own home and help your dogs feel better. And I think Kevin is doing an amazing job with that, not just with Dog TV, but outside there. He's got the restaurant. He's been helping thousands of dogs by now. And I really recommend this guy. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Paws for Love. You mentioned the travel show. How's it work?
These two guys, Sean and Christina, they sold everything that they had. They had a very nice house in Nashville, Tennessee, and then they said, screw all this. Let's just go on the road. They bought an RV. They did a garage sale. They sold everything that they had, and they bought this RV, and they said, let's go with our therapy dog. His name is Nash. Let's go on the road and promote the work of therapy dogs everywhere. And through this dog, try to help kids in need and just go to hospitals, firefighters, whatever. And they just, this is their passion. And this was their mission for 2021. So they just started a tour throughout the whole year and documented it. And we helped them do that. And I think it's not just a travel show. It's really an important show because you see how important these dogs are, the therapy dogs, and how much they can actually help all these people out there. And yeah, it's a travel show, but it's so much more than that. It's an important show. And yeah, I don't know. First of all, I created the show, so I can't really say, but I think it's a terrific show, and I recommend watching it. That's all I can say. It's great.
Do they go to any specific national landmarks? They try to do a Charles Carroll and sort of go, you know, the side roads of the USA?
So each episode is a different state, from Montana to South Carolina, from California to Massachusetts. They've been everywhere. And, yeah, landmarks everywhere. I mean, if you watch the show, you'll recognize a lot of great spots. But in each location, they also met with local celebrities, ran events in each place. So in California, they did a huge Golden Palooza just for golden retrievers. So hundreds came to this event, and it was a huge success. Mount Rushmore, you know, they've been around. I'm so jealous. I just, you know, edited the show, and I sat in the editing room, and I just saw this, and I said, that's the life that I want. I want to go on the road with dogs and meet dogs and dog people everywhere in the United States. These guys did it, you know, and they're continuing to do this. The show's just ended, you know, its first series, but they're still continuing to RV, and they're even thinking about RVing forever. So go figure.
How do you find the personalities that are on shows like Paws for Love or The Dog Chef, or did they find you because the channel showed up in the earth?
I have to remind you that the focus was not dog, like shows for dog parents. It was for dogs. And when we started playing around with creating these kind of shows, we had to pick and choose the right ones. What does that mean? People approach us all the time in the last 10 years. I want to do a beauty contest for dogs. I want to do a barking contest, like The Voice, called The Bark. You know, stuff like that, reality shows, whatever. We are a channel that was designed for dogs, and it's important for us to be a good channel for dogs, to create the right content for dogs to watch, the right content now for dog parents to watch. It's all about the positive method, and we can't just produce anything. We really pick and choose the right things that we think will add value to people's life and become better pet parents, like The Dog Chef, for example. I think it really does help a lot of people, and we're so proud of this show, or Paws for Love, or other shows that we're working on right now. A training show, and we have a show called Be Active with Laura Nativa, a dog trainer, which is about different enrichment stuff and just tricks and stuff that you can do with your dog and help your dog learn things and stuff like that. So we're really trying to focus on the right kind of content and not create anything. And it's exactly the same with the content for dogs. We're only focusing, and we're putting a lot of effort in creating the right content for dogs. If there's something that is not safe for a dog or something that we feel that dogs won't react to well on television, we're just not going to take it out or we won't produce it. We're trying to improve all the time. The last 10 years, you're saying we're in the second decade. I just can't believe when you said these words. It's like, oh, my God, we are. This is really happening. We're still learning, you know. We're creating shows for dogs to watch, and we're just trying to do our best to make them happy. So it's a lot of work, but we're really proud of what we're doing.
Ron Levy, the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV, which is available on cable systems, satellite systems, as well as smart TV sets and smart devices all over. He's our guest this half hour, live from Hoboken, New Jersey, on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment on many minutes with Ron, make a call and make it go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And incidentally, if you have a Vizio smart TV set, you can now get our program through Amazon Music. So I want to thank all the fine folks at Vizio. We've had Vizio executives on our show over the 14 and a half years we've been on the air. So thank you, Vizio, for taking Amazon Music as of last Friday. And to those of you that may be tuning us in through Amazon Music on your Vizio smart TV set, thank you for making us part of your day. And make us a regular habit right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or through Amazon Music on podcast. What does your research say about what breeds of dogs watch your channel more than others?
Simon, that's a very good question, man. It's less the breed. It's more the type of the dog, the activity level of the dog, the energy, how hyperactive is he, maybe his age. Older dogs seem to be a little bit, you know, just want to chill. So we give them certain kind of content called relaxation. The breeds themselves, there's no exact studies about it. We talked about it with Tufts University, a university that we worked with before many times. We actually learned that some breeds actually recognize their own breed on TV. We saw some videos of a Jack Russell reacting to another Jack Russell more than any other breed, and it was the same with a Cavalier. So that was pretty interesting to learn. But it's really hard to say. I think it's less the breed. It's more the type of dog. Every dog is different. Some dogs will react amazingly to seeing a dog on screen, and some won't care too much. So we're just trying to create the right content for all dogs and to make them happy. And now with technology, you know, the shift towards OTT channels and on-demand, like on Xfinity, for example, we're on-demand, it allows us to add and play around with personalized content and to make all dogs happy. So if your dog is hyperactive, and a lot of Jack Russells are, you can choose a content called extra relaxation. Just relax that dog when he needs that. Or the same with a dog that is too chilled and too relaxed at home. Dogs shouldn't be relaxed more than 16 hours a day. That's not cool. So just give them that extra stimulation that the dog needs. So we're just offering a lot of different kinds of content so every dog will find what exactly he needs. And we're still working on, you know, on DirecTV, for example, Dish, it's a linear channel. So you can just turn on the channel and we program the channel for you. So we're kind of we're working on programming the channel according to an average day cycle of dogs. Dogs actually have a day cycle and sometimes they need to be chilled and sometimes they need to play. And that's exactly what we're doing with the channel. So I think now we're available pretty much on all platforms and we have that freedom to play around and add some stuff. And we're always learning, as I said earlier. So now I think each dog will get exactly what he needs at all times.
Now that you're in this second decade, Ron, how do you see the programming develop? Are you at the point, for example, where people are outside comes up pitching you on story show ideas? What kind of development are you doing? What kind of shows do you see coming on the channel, you know, this coming year and beyond?
Yeah, once again, we need to divide it between the dog programming and the dog parent programming. The dog programming, as I said, we're changing and evolving all the time. And what I'm saying we're changing, there's not a lot of reruns on Dog TV. I mean, we're creating new content because we actually learned that dogs kind of recognize after seeing something after a few times, so we have to create new content and refresh the content all the time. And we're always trying to improve it. We're creating studies. We put security cameras in apartments to actually do focus group with dogs and understand what works, what doesn't work. We work with universities in order to learn about our own content. So we're doing a lot of that, and we tend to continue doing that because that's our goal, to create the best content in the world for dogs. The other kind of content, which is for parents, yes, we're getting pitched all the time ideas, and we're trying to create the right content for dogs moving forward. But I think we're going to continue creating content that add value that is educational, not just entertaining and fun and freaky, something that will be really good for dog parents and for them to learn and to become better dog parents. That's our main goal. And because we're available now in all these territories like Brazil or South Korea or in certain countries in Latin America and Europe, we're doing a lot of localization and creating local content with local vets and pet experts in order to create the right content. We're taking Dog TV very, very seriously. We're always working to create content that is good. We're not just releasing stuff out there. So we're doing that in all territories right now.
Do you see making room on the service for, let's say, dog competitions or dog sports programming?
If it's something that is positive and it's endorsed by certain organizations, I don't see why not. But unfortunately, some of them are less loved by pet organizations. Some of them, without getting into details, are just encouraging competition, but they're not good for dogs or making fun of dogs or humanizing dogs and stuff like that. That we won't do. We care about the dogs too much in order to make fun of them or stuff like that. But if it's something that is good for dogs, I don't see why not. And you're welcome to pitch me ideas, man.
One more question I want to get into is the idea of scripted television on Dog TV. You know, some of the most popular series in TV history were about dogs. Lassie, you know, comes to mind. In Canada, The Littlest Hobo, which has had some play here in the United States. And Run, Joe, Run for a while was popular on NBC Saturday morning schedule in the 70s. Do you see at some point a scripted show? You know, the
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or,
I think
or maybe try to get Lassie or Littlest Hobo reruns and put them on.
We had a meeting with the Lassie guys, by the way, in L.A., looking into different opportunities with Lassie. Apparently, there's a new Lassie who's the same Lassie. I mean, it's still a collie, but it's the successor. It's the new Lassie, and he's alive and kicking, and they're actually doing stuff with Lassie. So we met with them. We'll see how that goes, but certainly we're all for it. If there's good content, if it's a movie or if it's a scripted and it belongs on Dog TV, absolutely, absolutely. I think it'll be great, and it'll help us develop the channel even more, and we're always looking, and especially creating, but not only, good content. So if it's good content, absolutely. Do you have a dog, Simon?
Dog TV.
You're asking me questions.
Now
I want to ask you a question.
As of this month. Sorry, go ahead, Ron.
I was asking if you have a dog.
I don't, although some members of my family do, and they're great,
so
by the way.
So now that you know the channel is there, maybe it's time getting a dog, because maybe you don't have a dog because the channel wasn't there for you. But now that it's available everywhere, maybe it's time to get a dog, Simon. Think about it.
Okay. Offline conversation. maybe coming to a place near me. We'll see. Okay, now, take two. Dog TV. Running on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, cable, satellite systems all over the place. And check your local listings if Dog TV is available in your area on cable or satellite, certainly on Cox Cable San Diego and other cable systems around too, including Comcast cable systems as well, as you heard earlier. And for more details about the service online, go to www.dogtv.com. That's www.dogtv.com. Ron Levy, the founder, Chief Creative Officer of Dog TV, congratulations on Decade 1. Hopefully much, much more good stuff coming in Decade 2. It's been great to have you back and great with us.
Thanks, Simon. Talk to you in 10 years, huh?
For sure. Hopefully sooner. We'll see. Take
yeah,
care. All the greatest.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Ron Levy, the founder and Chief Creative Officer of Dog TV, joining us live from Hoboken, New Jersey. More tomorrow. We televised coming away, but first, some words from the fine, terrific people at Audible.com. Did you know that there's a very unique collaboration underway in terms of the audiobook world? How about this? Dolly Parton and celebrated author James Patterson have done an audiobook together, and it's a novel, and it's a very unique novel called Run, Rose, Run, and you can get it right now and hear it for yourself with Audible.com. It's a one-month trial we're talking about. And if you haven't heard, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, all of our podcast affiliates. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And while supply lasts, important health and wellness information. Don't forget, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, two audiobooks for the trial of one, including one from the growing catalog of Audible originals. So how about making today the day you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world and listen to that, all that good stuff. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love to any time of the year. For all details, audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up in our next half hour, Shining Veil made its mark on Stars last night. Great cast. And we'll hear from, in an interradio exclusive way, the co-creator and executive producer, Jeff Astroff. He is next, along with the answer to our current classic trivia question. We'll do all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is Best Internet Radio on the planet, www.blogsofradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Black Urban America tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's Black Urban America tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this two-hour extravaganza edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way from Nueva York. Simon Adam, I'm with you along for the ride. 71 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Last night, Stars had a big original doubleheader. First, the brand-new season of Outlander, and then the premiere of Shining Veil. It's a new horror comedy. You might say it's also a little bit of an unusual offbeat takeoff on A Modern Family. The stars, Courtney Cox from Friends, Greg Kinnear from Talk Soup, and his Oscar-nominated Turn in As Good As It Gets, and Oscar winner Mira Sorvino. Joining us live in an inner radio exclusive from Los Angeles, the co-creator and executive producer, Jeff Astroff. Jeff, congratulations. Happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Simon. This is I actually want to hear more about the dog programming as somebody who has two dogs, but I guess I'll have to go back and I'll have to go back and listen later.
Oh, definitely go to the replay and maybe they'll give us some ideas for season two. Given how season one is getting off to the races,
I have to tell you that the probably the character that this is good cross promotion with your last guest, because the character that really tested off the charts in our show was Roxy the dog. So. It's I think it's something for everybody here. You're stay tuned, people who are listening to Dog TV, because we have really good dog stuff in Shiny Veil season.
Mm-hmm. The critics have been very, very strong in terms of the reaction to last night's premiere. What are you hearing from the audience?
So look, it's you know, you create these things and you're kind of in a bubble, and you know, especially during COVID, you're literally in a bubble. And you know, we knew that we had something really special just from watching it and putting it together. And then you know, when we started showing it to the press, they were really, really into it and got it for the most part. You know, it's a very special show. And we're trying to, Sharon Horgan and I, who co-created it, are trying to do kind of a new genre. So that's always a little bit risky. But so far, you know, anecdotally, I think it's gone over really, really well. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt that we have one of the most recognizable people on the planet in Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear and also Mira Sorvino. And but so far, so good. People are liking it. I guess we'll find out more. I started this business such a long time ago where, you know, you had to get 18 million people to, you know, to watch a show to stay in the air. And now things are very, very different.
Mm-hmm. When you and Sharon were putting this together, you just mentioned that you were not only trying to create a show, you were trying to create a genre. So how did you sort of picture the genre and how this series fits into it?
So Sharon, the idea originally came, I guess, to Sharon from speaking to our producer, who's a mutual friend named Aaron Kaplan, who talked about how a friend once punked him and convinced him that he had grown up in a haunted house. And so Aaron said to Sharon, I think it would be really cool to do a show about a haunted house. And Sharon, who, you know, really likes writing about, you know, broken characters, dysfunctional characters, kind of put together this outline about a family that moves into a house that may or may not be haunted. And then she went off and did something else. And I had done a show that had just run its last episode. And I was looking for a project. And Sharon and I got put together because I had heard that she wanted to do The Shining, but as a comedy. And I've always been into really genre-bending stuff. And, you know, our first conversation was Sharon said, you know, when you watch a horror movie that tries to be funny, oftentimes it's either really scary or really funny and not both. And she said, what if we did a show that was both really scary and really, really funny? And you know, that's what we set out to do. And you know, the show has real scares in it. And it also, you know, it's a comedy. I'm a comedy writer. by trade, you know, for a long time. So I love a really, really good joke. And it turns out that the two genres actually really complement each other well.
Mm-hmm. When I saw the trailer and a little bit of last night's episode, one thing that hit me was like, this is also a reverse Topper. If you remember the TV series and the movie Topper, it's about two ghosts
mm-hmm.
who do their thing with a very well-to-do person played by, in the TV series, Lee J. Carroll. The ghosts were played by the husband and wife team at the time, Ann Jeffries and Robert Sterling. In this case, we have two human beings who are, and one of them, particularly Cox's character, is being haunted by a ghost. So the ghost here is the single person, and the human beings are the twosome.
Right. So, you know, look, we owe a debt certainly to Rod Serling. The show pays tribute to a lot of classic horrors, horror movies. And, you know, Sharon and I both wanted to write about a family. We wanted to do a family show. So, you know, the kind of hook here on this show is that we're never quite sure whether or not Pat, played by Courtney Cox, is possessed or just really, really depressed. And it turns out the symptoms are exactly the same, especially for a woman of a certain age. So that's kind of the fun of it, is that you can watch the show back from the beginning and you'll see that you never really know, is Mira Sorvino's character a ghost or is she just like a psychotic break? And I think that's kind of the fun and the frustration for Pat.
Mm. It's interesting, though, too, the dynamic between Courtney's character and Mira's character, because Courtney, without giving too much away, is somebody who is trying to get her career back on track, and Mira's character appears to be somebody who's trying to get elements of her life back on track, or her, whether it's life in the spirit world or life in the human, in the near human world, back on track.
Right. So, you know, the original, you know, when Sharon came to me and she had an outline for the show, she talked about Rosemary being a character who might be Pat's alter ego or some kind of psychotic split. And I thought, what an interesting thing if Rosemary was a 50s housewife, and talk about how, you know, you have the kind of like the model of the 50s housewife with the smile, but what if there was a 50s housewife who kind of went crazy? And, you know, to compare that to Pat, who is a very modern woman. She's a writer. If you watch the show, she's got a very modern vocabulary and has modern issues with her kids. And what would it be like for the two of those characters to kind of interact in a little bit of a somewhere in time kind of way, and, you know, how each of them needs each other. And I think that's what makes a good show, is when, you know, both characters have agendas and need each other. The problem is if one of the characters is from the spirit world, they're not always up front with what they really want.
Incidentally, Jeff mentioned Aaron Kaplan before. If you don't know who Aaron Kaplan is, you ought to. He's one of the biggest producers of series television around. His track record over the last decade or more is amazing, and he continually produces more and more television of great quality, both comedies, dramas. He's like the great Berlanti. He's like, think Greg Berlanti, think Chandler Rhimes, think Ava DuVernay, et cetera, et cetera. He is in that boat of top producers of quality television. And the show we're talking about is Shining Vale. It's now on Starz Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Pacific time, right after the new season of Outlander. And we've got an exclusive interview going on live from Los Angeles with Jeff Astroff. He's the co-creator and executive producer with Sharon Horgan. And he's with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're live with us, too. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 71 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a question or comment for Jeff. Don't be shy. Make your fingers and your voice go at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And again, coming up before the top of the hour, we're going to give you the answer to our classic trivia question that we posed here on this program over the last 2 weeks. Then the following hour, brand new question, two prizes in play, and you could be the winner. So stay tuned and listen in, because your winning turn might be for you. Talk about getting Courtney involved, Greg involved, Mira involved. What kind of process was it for you and Sharon to bring all these three talents together?
So it's very, very interesting. You know, when I wrote the pilot, people assumed that it was written for Sharon Horgan. People always heard Sharon Horgan in it, and I did not have Sharon Horgan in mind. And more importantly, Sharon Horgan did not have Sharon Horgan in mind. The only thing I knew about the character, I always write for character and then you cast it, because that way it's easier. Because if you write for an actor and you don't get the actor, then, you know, you're kind of screwed. So I wrote the character, and I knew she'd be of a certain age, and I didn't know exactly, anywhere from like really 40 into the 50s. And really, as we're kind of going over our list of people, I get a call from, 213 number in California, and I pick up the phone, and thankfully I did. And she said, "Jeff, hi, it's Courtney. I just read your script." I said, "Courtney who?" And she said, "Courtney Cox. Anyway, I just read your script." I said, "Courtney, the last time we spoke, Courtney and I worked together on Friends. I was one of the original writers of Friends. And I said, last time we spoke, they didn't even have cell phones. How did you expect me to just pick up the phone and hear it's Courtney and continue a conversation that we never had 25 years ago?" And she said, "Sorry, I've been doing a lot of Friends reunion stuff. Anyway, I just read your script. It's the first thing I've ever read that's been written for me." And which, of course, was ironic that I didn't know at the time it had been written for her. And I said, that's amazing. I said, you know, I've seen you do horror in terms of Scream, and I've seen you do comedy, and this show is kind of a different thing. You think you could do it? And she said, "I'm telling you, I have a teenage daughter. I'm the right age for this. This part was written for me. Trust me, I can do it." So I called Sharon and Aaron. I said, "Hey, Courtney Cox wants to do this." And we're like, "All right, well, I guess Courtney Cox is going to do this." And, you know, and I met Courtney and I met her daughter and I saw that dynamic. And I was like, wow, I could really write to this. Courtney and I had a bigger conversation. And once that happened, then Greg Kinnear calls and Greg's like, "Hey, I read your script. I'd love to work with Courtney." And I was like, "All right, well, that's you get Greg Kinnear and Courtney Cox, and you're not going to say no." And then we found out that Mira Sorvino wanted to do the show. And, people like, well, the part of Rosemary only had one line in it, in the pilot. And really only a couple of lines in the second episode. She really comes alive, as it were, in the third episode and on. And, you know, so I got on the phone with Mira, and Mira's like, "Tell me more about this character. I'm really, really intrigued by it." And my connection to Mira is that her dad and my dad were friends growing up in Brooklyn. They worked together in selling insurance. And famously, my dad told two people not to leave New York to come to Hollywood. One was her dad and one was me. And we both did okay. So Mira and I hit it off right away. And I told Mira about the character. And she's like, "I really want to play this." And, you know, the whole thing was that, like, okay, she has an Oscar. She has one line in this pilot. Like, how are we going to get, like, what is she expecting? And I told her where the character went, and she brought such life to this character. She really, really wanted to do it. And, you know, Mira has, you know, she, as Mira's told me since, it's like there aren't a lot of parts. You know, most women, when you get to be, you know, in your 40s or later, you get to play like a hard-boiled detective or somebody who's kind of over it, or not somebody who's necessarily like sexy or has an agenda. And she loved the part, and she and I, you know, talked about it, and I really started writing it really to Mira. And once we had the three of them, we were just like, wow, we have like a marquee show here. And I was concerned, like, how do you, you know, I've worked on shows with big stars before, but never three, you know, A-list stars where any of them could, you know, be first on the call sheet. And, you know, they each had their lane. They each worked together wonderfully. I realized afterwards, without giving too much away, that Mira only has scenes with Courtney. So for season two, I'm going to try to change that. But, you know, everybody worked together really, really well. And you know, we had the sum was incredible, but it was greater than the parts were incredible, and the sum was even greater than all the parts put together.
Mm-hmm. You talked earlier about the lane that you and Sharon developed for Courtney, and a way the lane for Mira. I'm curious what you think about the lane for Greg, because, you know, we've known Greg for a long, long time. He started out as a host, long run with Talk Soup on E. He also did a game show hosting with College Madhouse, syndicated show for Warner Brothers. And then, of course, came the breakout role that I think floored everybody, his role in As Good as It Gets opposite Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt. I'm curious what you tried to tap into with him and his role for this series.
I did not change I didn't change any of the dialogue once we cast. I think there were a couple of lines where Courtney said, you know, I'm from New York, and the writer, Pat, is from New York. And Courtney, I think there were like maybe two lines in the whole show where she said, my southern mouth won't say that. You know, not like I won't say that. She's like, it doesn't sound like how I can't get, you know, some kind of, you know, idiom or something. So I didn't change anything for her. And same thing with Mira, and same thing for Greg. You know, Greg just embodied this character. So I, you know, once we cast Courtney, we knew the character had to be of a certain age. If Courtney were 10 years younger, then the husband would have to be probably 10 years younger. So Greg happened to fit in that, you know, that demographic. And, you know, what can you say about Greg? He is perfection. And he really, like, really, really dug into this, asked me, you know, whereas Courtney said, this part is definitely written for me, Greg asked Sharon and me, we were on the phone for hours asking questions about the character. I mean, Greg is an actor's actor and, you know, super sweet guy. And, but he had a lot of questions and, you know, and his big question was, you know, this story is about a woman, which you learned very, very quickly, that had an affair. And, you know, Courtney's character curses a lot and she has mental illness in her family and she's not a very good mother. So he was like, you know, why do I stay with her? And we were just like, you love her. And, you know, it's one of those things you can't explain. And really, once we had Terry, Pat, Greg Kinnear plays Terry, fall in love with Pat, then the audience falls in love with her. And it was very interesting because, you know, in casting Pat on the page, it's not a very she's not a very likable character. Like I said, she cannot be it's possible for her not to be likable because she does all these things, because she has, you know, a lot of traits that you wouldn't necessarily want your mother or your friend or your daughter. And but once you cast Courtney, Pat immediately becomes likable. But then you cast Greg Kinnear, who's the most likable person on the planet, and you're like, oh wow, we just made Pat not as likable. So, you know, you have to really have Greg's character really, really love Pat's character to buy into her, because Greg plays everything so vulnerable. And, you know, he's very funny. He says, I don't want to do Camp Kinnear. I don't want to do anything, you know, silly and campy. And we had to earn his trust a little bit, even though we did a movie, Stuck on You, where he was attached to Matt Damon. I guess he's better known for his more serious work. And, you know, he plays the drama. He plays the sweetness. And also, you know, he's a character on the page who is, you know, he listens to dad rock and he's like, you know, the dad who kind of, you know, likes to kind of, you know, get the troops going. And yet here's a character who's undergoing a lot of pain. And you need somebody with depth like Greg, who you still root for no matter what happens. And, you know, Greg brought that. You know, Greg is Terry now as much as Courtney is Pat and Mira is Rosemary. And, you know, it became very, very easy to write for them.
You're hearing Jeff Astroff. He is the co-creator and executive producer of Shining Veil, the brand new horror com on Starz. It's on at 10 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time. Second episode coming your way this Sunday night. And Jeff is with us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised from Los Angeles. Tommy, I'm with you from the other side of the U.S. of A. That's New York, 71 degrees atop the hour. Question or comment or many minutes with Jeff, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Hear what you just said, Jeff. Do you find that you're an experience that you feel more freer in developing more comprehensive, more characters with depth, more characters that don't have to be likable or unlikable all the time?
So, you know, I think this is my first experience writing a show for streaming. And, you know, I've been, if you look at my resume, I've been doing, you know, I've been writing since the 90s. Friends was my third job, and I've done only network TV, and it was unthinkable to do anything other than network TV for the longest time. And, you know, I remember back, you know, a few years ago, I did a show called New Adventures of Old Christine, starring Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And, mm-hmm. you know, her character was messy. And, you know, I just remember getting the note all the time is that she's coming off as unlikable. And it's Julie Louis-Dreyfus. That's impossible. It's impossible to make her unlikable. But it was a very network kind of note that, like, if a character does things, especially the female, if they do things that are deemed a certain way, they come off as unlikable. And, you know, since then, certainly Sharon has created these really complex characters that, you know, that you know, using the word likable is hard, because likable implies that there's only one way to be likable and you have to fit in a certain box. And one of the reasons I was really excited to work with Sharon was because she writes complex characters. And I think that now, you know, if you look at Fleabag also, that's, you know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, that character is very, very complex. And I really, really wanted to do that. And I really wanted to do that with Pat, and to have somebody like Courtney, who is known as, you know, Courtney has a huge, you know, opus of work, but she hasn't played a character quite like this. And you know, she noticed that, and people noticed that the character curses a lot. And Courtney says, wow, my character curses a lot. And I didn't even notice it, except that, you know, this show's about mental illness and possession. And one trait for, you know, for people who are possessed or have mental illness is they swear a lot. So I kind of I tried to overlap wherever the two overlap. So, and also because you don't see you know, she's like a character in The Wire, and you don't really see that a lot in a woman. Certainly, Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Veep really own that in a very conscious way. And this character is a little bit less conscious than that. But, you know, I really from writing for Julia, you know, back in, you know, 10 years ago, I really, really got that kind of, you know, this hankering to write a complex character and a complex woman. I got a chance to do it a little bit on my network show Trial and Error, but with Kristen Chenoweth, but it still came off a little bit comic. And this is, you know, I love Stars for allowing us to kind of dig deep into a character. And, you know, we never once got the note, oh, you know, can you make her more likable? And I think that network relies on that more, maybe because they rely on advertising, maybe because of they have a model that kind of like, you know, they're still on the Lucy model of TV and the profitability model. You know, all the Friends. I remember, by the way, the very first episode of Friends, in the pilot of Friends, I came on Friends on the second episode. And I remember when it tested, Monica, now I'm thinking of this for the first time, Monica had an affair with someone. Not an affair. She wound up sleeping with somebody on the first date. And people were very upset about that. And this is, by the way, this is in the mid-90s. And it was like, well, do you really want our character, you know, one of our leads, sleeping with someone? Now, if a man does it, it's not, you know, whatever. He's Joey, or he's, you know, whoever, whatever your character is, who's a Lothario. But I remember now, and I'm just thinking this the first time, that there was question from the network is, are we making this character unlikable because she wound up sleeping with a guy that she just met? And so you see how long, how far we've come, even from, you know, in the past 25 years. But it gives you, as a writer, as a creative person, it gives you a lot more license to be able to write a complex character.
Yeah. Shining Veil is not only a reference to the famous Stanley Kubrick movie, it's also the name of the Connecticut town that our stars, Courtney and Greg and their characters, move to. As the series goes on, how much of the town are we going to see, and how much of the community, the people living in that town, impact our main characters?
So, you know, that's a great question. So more and more, you see her, you see Pat interact with a lot of the town. We shot the show. We originally talked about, you know, I would love to have been able to shoot the show in the Northeast or even somewhere in the East Coast, you know, Atlanta or somewhere that gave us more of a look of Connecticut. We were very fortunate to find a house in South Pasadena. That's an incredible house that we rebuilt in. That we rebuilt on stage at Warner Brothers in beautiful Burbank. So we wound up shooting here in Burbank. And because of that, you know, a lot of the town stuff, the small town stuff, is on the lot and does not, you know, it's not as rich maybe as I'd like it to be. So, you know, we do some stuff in the town. I think the town is going to play, you know, a bigger part in season two as we get to know it. The other thing is, only, you know, I'm used to writing, you know, seasons that have 22 episodes, you kind of take things a little slower. This escalates very, very quickly. We'll get to meet some of the people in the town, and we'll get to meet, you know, Pat's mom, played by Judith Light, who's wonderful. And more and more characters in the city, more people in Terry's world. But, you know, with only 8 episodes and a gigantic house and such a great family, I think we spend a lot of time, you know, in the house with touches of something's going on in the town. But season 2, we're going to learn more about the town. I mean, we you know, in the second episode, we show some of the people in the town, and it's kind of like a Stepford-type town, which one of the reasons we set it in Connecticut was because Connecticut is – you know, it's close to New York, but couldn't be further from New York. And we like that for Pat.
Incidentally, if you want to shoot season 2 in Connecticut or in the New York City area, you can. You know, Lionsgate just opened up a studio in Yonkers, which they are looking into making a major complex. And now that Connecticut and the New York City area is over the pandemic, it looks like, and TV production and film production is really starting to boom, thanks to the wonderful work of Andy Castillo, who has been rehired as the mayor's office of entertainment president. Maybe that's an opening for you.
You know, it could be. It's, you know, a lot of it had to do with Courtney's schedule, but I know Courtney's daughter now is potentially going to be going to school on the East Coast without giving too much away. So, and I know I'll have my kids are on the East Coast, so it could be. I'm from New York. I love New York. I've never shot there, but, you know, as you mentioned, this entire first season was shot during the pandemic, and it was really important for everybody to stay close to home. And I think that's also why we got such a great cast. You know, Maren Dungey is in 6 episodes, and she also plays Cam, Pat's best friend / editor, and, you know, she wanted to stay close to home, and we lucked out with that. And, you know, maybe with things opening up, that's a possibility.
Shining Vale began last night on Starz to great reviews, and so far it looks like very good review reception. You can catch episode 2 next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time, right after the season underway now of Outlander. Now I believe in season number 6. That's all on Starz, available on cable and satellite throughout the country. So check your local listings for where Starz is available in your area. And for more details about the program online, go to starz.com. That's STARZ, starz.com. Shining Vale, starring Courtney Cox, Greg Kinnear, Mira Savino, other great folks too, including Judith Light. That's next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Starz. Jeff Astroff, the co-creator executive producer with Sharon Horgan, thank you again very much for coming on. Congratulations on the early reaction to the show, and hopefully the beginning of a very, very long run started last night.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome, Jeff. All the best to you, your cast, and crew. Take care.
Thanks to you. You too. Bye.
Jeff Astroff from Shining Vale joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, and we've been presenting this question for the last 2 weeks. Nobody came through with an answer, so no nailed-in cookbook comes anybody's way. Let's give it the answer. The question was, name Netflix's first original unscripted series back in 2015. We gave you 2 clues. It was a 2-word title, and the first word had an apostrophe S. The answer, Chef's Table. Chef's Table. Cooking series with a number of very interesting quirks to it, and ran a couple of years on Netflix. That was Netflix's first unscripted series, and that was the answer to our classic trivia question of the last 2 weeks. And about an hour from now, we'll give you a brand new classic trivia question, and if you are first with the correct answer, not only will you win the Nailed It cookbook, but we have another prize for you. It is the 25th anniversary Blues Clues Notepad, courtesy of Nickelodeon. So, if you get on board, your first correct answer, you win both prizes. So stay tuned, listen in, and then email me with the correct answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If your first correct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. If you're a previous winner, you are not eligible. So get it in play today. Again, new question coming your way an hour from now. So get into the game. And, of course, all the very best. We have a nonfiction hour coming your way in our second hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming up later in the program, we will preview the brand-new Home and Garden television series. It's called Build It Forward. We will have Matt Vlashoff. He is the co-host and very popular home renovator. And from Discovery, we will have Senior Vice President Freddie James, very integral in having this show, which is sponsored by Lowe's, on the air. But first up, If you want to see a show where people in a business get transformed, I mean truly transformed, CNBC has got a show for you tomorrow night. It's called No Retreat Business Boot Camp. Executive producer Nicole Elliott joins me next after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. One of the most popular shows around, the January Jones Show, comes your way again tomorrow. First of several episodes this week. That's the January Jones Show tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second hour of this two-hour edition of Tomorrow Be Told Live. Had a great Monday afternoon, 71 degrees at the top of the hour. We welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard. Simon and I, I'm with you along for the ride. If you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, we welcome you in live. Also, we welcome those of you catching us on podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal Reason, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And to catch us on Amazon Music, you can also catch us now on Vizio Smart TV sets. However you're catching us, we hope that you stay tuned for the next hour. I think we have some wonderful guests worth your while. And if you're listening to us live, be interactive. That's interactive with our guests. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio. You can also be involved in our chat room. SimonApple04 is the name of the room. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of other people to be live with you. Simple as that. Some of the best nonfiction shows on television, whether broadcast, cable, or the likes of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, deal with people's lives being transformed by what they experience. Well, CNBC has got a very interesting show that comes your way tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It's called No Retreat Business Boot Camp. And the person who organized the boot camp, none other than the founder and CEO of one very enduring company, Spartan, Joe DeSena. Joining us live in an interradio exclusive, live from Nashville, Tennessee, executive producer Nicole Elliott. Nicole, welcome in.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
And it's great to have you with us, Nicole, from Music City, US of A. Talk about No Retreat Business Boot Camp. This is not your father, your grandfather, or your chief executive boot camp, for sure.
No, this is not. If you don't know Joe DeSena, who started the Spartan brand, if you look into him, he is a very intense guy, and he was the perfect person to lead this journey. In fact, this show came about because of us following him and meeting him. And this is something he's really doing. He's really bringing Fortune 100 companies to his farm in Vermont and putting them through the paces and making them stronger as teams and as businesses. And so when we heard this and we saw what he was doing, we knew there was a show there. And so we're really happy to get this on CNBC. And we think they're the perfect channel for this show because it is so business forward. And I think, you know, the CNBC audience is really into business and they're a smart audience. And so we tried to put a lot of business takeaways in this show for all the viewers to see. But yeah, it all started with Joe. He's a great guy and very intense leader of this journey.
And what Joe has come up with, and I've seen some clips of the show and also the trailer that mm-hmm. has come out, is really the Fortune 500 version of Outward Bound.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I think, you know, Joe comes, he's a self-made man, right? He started his own business before, you know, college, and he then spent years on Wall Street before he made the Spartan brand. And the reason why he, you know, I think turned his sights to Spartan is because he just saw the benefit of being outside and the benefit of doing hard things and how much better it makes your life both personally and in business. And so, you know, he lives, eats, and breathes that mantra. I can attest to because we spent many, many months with him. The crew was doing a lot of burpees and a lot of push-ups during this shoot, but he really does live, eat, and breathe it. And he talks the talk and walks the walk. But he really does change lives, and he, you know, makes these businesses better, not only the businesses that are on our show that we filmed, but, you know, all of those that he comes in contact with. You know, I really think he's has a transformative of quality to him, and he really, really wants to change lives. That's his mantra.
For Joe, what does he see as the common barrier or the big barrier to having these businesses work, especially individual employees work as a team, that his practices address?
Yeah, there's so many problems that are across the board. You know, there's the trope ones that you hear on all kinds of, you know, business help books or business podcasts. You know, it comes down to communication and, you know, communicating effectively with your team and building, you know, building a strong team from the get-go. So there's a lot of those that, you know, that enter in. That you'll see on this show. But I don't know that there's one. I mean, I think the great thing about Joe is that he actually can really get to the nitty-gritty of the business problems very quickly. So the first part of the show, he travels across the country and meets these businesses in person, in their workplace, in their environment, and gets to the heart of the problem. And I was always amazed that he was able to whittle it down very quickly of like, I see the problem here. You've got this debt hanging over your head. That stress is causing you to do X, Y, Z, and we can fix this. So he's very quick to get down to the problem. Like I said, he's a very, you know, he comes from a business background, so he's a very smart business guy. So I think his strength is figuring out the problem. And then what we do on the farm is create tasks that are very specific to that problem. So it's not just, you know, cookie cutter Spartan challenges. For instance, in the first episode, yes, you will see a company that is crawling in the mud and going under barbed wire that is, you know, attuned to something that you would see on a Spartan race, an obstacle that you would see there. But in our version, Joe is yelling business questions at them that they have to ask under pressure, that they have to answer under pressure. And that was a lesson that, you know, it was these new owners that didn't know their business. They had just bought the company a couple of years ago. And he was trying to teach them the lesson, the power of knowing the details of your business. And that is where you will succeed. And that's where you can, you know, make big strides. And so it's doing a Spartan-esque challenge, but with a twist that's very specific to the company. So I wouldn't say there was like one thing across the board. We really tried to tailor the challenges to what that company was going through.
Mm-hmm. By the way, with that exercise, were you or any of your production team surprised to find that there were people on the team when Joe was doing that exercise that didn't know some of the – we're talking basic 101 about your company.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was really surprising. It was – and like I said, it was one of the things that Joe recognized right away that they – you know, deflected of like, oh, well, I don't know that, but I don't need to know that information. Other people need to know that information. And so it was a problem that he really identified very early on, but we were surprised. There was definitely, you know, some questions that we expected them to get right that they, but I think that the other part of that challenge was to show you that it is hard when you're under pressure. So you really have to know your business and know your numbers because businesses are always under pressure, right? You're always under the gun trying to get a new client or trying to expand your business, and there's always pressures coming at you. So if you know it inside and out, when you're in a stressful situation, you'll be able to close the deal and to, you know your business. So it was a good lesson, but we were surprised. But they are a great company, and they've, you know, even in the follow-up, you'll see at the end of this episode how well they've done since the farm. So we're excited for them.
CNBC's new series, No Retreat Business Bootcamp, premieres tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. We're talking to executive producer Nicole Elliott. She joins us live from Nashville, Tennessee this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sondheim, I'm with you live from Nueva York, where it is 71 degrees at the top of the hour. Partly sunny skies for the most part all day. We may get a little bit of rain a little later on. And then as the week goes on, we go into the upper 40s, low 50s for most of the week. Happy to have you with us wherever you are listening to us. And if you have a question or comment for Nicole, don't be shy. Take your fingers, take your voice, put them in action at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week. We're back with you Wednesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And also, next Monday, we will have reset from last Friday, Tara Merchant. She is the founder and the chief executive of Yara TV Network. It's a new service based here in New York, studios in Queens. They've got a very ambitious programming schedule of original shows, and they've got a very interesting community outreach as well. Tara Merchant from Yahoo TV Network, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Who are some of the companies that are involved in this series, and were these companies that had already made the commitment to do this boot camp, or did you find through CNBC that there were people that or companies that said you were doing this show, so why not give it a try?
Yeah, so we obviously, we specifically casted for this show, and my hat's off really to anybody that does a season one show, you know, because it's a little daunting to put yourself out there and to put your company out there. And, you know, we had no body of work to show them, so they just had to trust our process, trust us as producers. And, you know, obviously they were, you know, we had the carrot of getting this, you know, business help from Joe. So I think that that, you know, helped us convince these companies, but I really, my hat's off to them for putting their trust in us on this season one. But we had a great variety. We have 4 episodes in this first season, and we have a commercial cleaning company who you and I were talking about that are in the first episode that were in the mud. And then we also have a New York real estate company coming up, which is a really great episode, Bohemia Realty. We also have company out of Seattle that's a pharmaceutical gummy company called Seattle Gummy Company. And then we also have another New York-based company that is really in the holistic plant-based area. Their name is Juice Press, and they really focus on juices and plant-based foods, and they have 85 stores in the New York area. So we have a variety of, from small to large companies, and as you can tell, a variety of different types of industries that were highlighted.
And how long does each company stay at that farm for?
They are there for a few days. So mostly around 3 days was the general time frame. So it's just enough to break them down.
And do they just do one activity in the course of a specific day, or is it a very full, like you're going to do, like, be prepared to do a lot of sweat in a lot of ways?
Yeah, I think we put them through the paces. I mean, what you see in the episode is 3 different challenges, but we definitely kept their schedule full to keep them, at their limits. And again, I think a lot of it is putting you under stress, because if you're outside and you're under stress and you're being taught a lesson, that's a memory point that you can go back to. You know, it's like, you know, going back to the CNS and the mud, it's like, they will never forget some of those questions that they didn't know the answers to, because that created a memory point for them of being cold and miserable in this wet mud and not being able to come up with the answer. So, I think that that's the power of this show, and that's the power that Joe, really opened our eyes to, is that, like, you can read all the business books you want, you can listen to a bunch of business podcasts, but going out in the wild and learning these business lessons there are lessons that you will never forget. And it's literally the chemistry of our brain, you know, doing something hard and doing something outside hard is, you know, it will cement that lesson in your brain in a way that, you know, just reading or listening to a podcast can't.
What are some of the other exercises or drills that Joe puts these companies through?
Oh, yeah. We had lots of fun ones, like trying to get a boat across a lake that has a bunch of holes in it, carrying really heavy logs up a mountain, trying to get across a lake while suspended on a rope. Carrying buckets of water, trying to run across a field and fill up a huge bucket. So it's, you know, just a lot of just physical taxing things. But again, they all tie back to an issue that the company was having, you know. So, for instance, in in the bucket challenge where our company was filling up a bucket and they were, you know, having to go down to the river and get water and run up this huge hill and put it into a huge barrel that had holes in it. And it was because they weren't watching. This is a company that wasn't watching where their money was going. So holes kept popping up and, you know, basically revenue was leaking out of that bucket and it made it hard to, you know, stay ahead of it and get it filled up. So there was always kind of a lesson at the forefront while they were doing something hard to understand, you know, why the way that they were doing business wasn't working. But yeah, we kept them tired, wet, cold, and dirty out there.
Now, what does that mean for your production crew in terms of how did you have any time in terms of before the business came up to see what Joe was going to do so you could figure out, here's where we want to put our cameras, here's where we want to get like the best possible shot, here's how do we plan for how these people are going to react to what they're dealing with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, hats off to our crew. We had an amazing team that was willing to hike up these mountains with the companies and get in the water with them and get dirty with them. So, you know, our crew really put it out there on the line to get these amazing shots and really, you know, capture what these companies were going through. So, yeah, we had an amazing crew. And like I said, luckily, you know, Joe had this existing farm that had all of these challenges there, all these obstacles that we could do there. You know, he has a huge mountain that I hiked with him at 5 a.m. before we started filming. So he has a way of convincing people to do hard things like nobody else. So so I think it was his passion and our great and willing crew, I think, that really, you know, made this come to life.
A little spoiler, you're going to see some very interesting shots, the camera work, whether it's of the farm or these business mm-hmm. people going through these paces is quite remarkable. I mean, the camera angles that are taken, how you see these people and what they're dealing with, it's really a thing of speaking of capturing people on the spot. This, in a way, it's like nature photography. You get one shot at it, and yep. you definitely make the most of it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, like I said, we had a great team that was really willing to put it on the line and literally putting their bodies on the line to get the shot. So we had a great team out there making it happen.
You're hearing Nicole Elliott. She's the executive producer of No Retreat Business Bootcamp. It's CNBC's new series, and it premieres tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And Nicole joins us live from Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Albarn with you from New Ever York. We're delighted you're with us for a special two-hour edition of the program all about TV's current and future. And if you have a question or comment on many minutes with Nicole, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up in our final half hour, we're going to preview a new series that premieres early Saturday night on HDTV, Home and Garden Television. It's called Build It Forward, and it's a very unusual renovation series which honors people who really are great Samaritans, great heroes in their community, and they get the surprise of their life. We will talk to one of the co-hosts, the home renovator of the show, and we'll also talk to an executive from Discovery, the parent company of HGTV, that made the show possible. That's all coming up in our final half hour. What was the most, of all the episodes you did, what was the most surprising moment for you, the thing you did not expect happened?
That's a really great question. There were so many moments. I'm thinking about one episode right now where Seattle Gummy Company came to the farm and they were tasked with a challenge that really was boiling down their communication issues that they were having. And they all had to be strapped to boards together, and they were that kind of looked like a huge ski that the whole team was on. And they had to climb up the mountain with these skis, which was very challenging. And there were a lot of slips and falls there that, you know, definitely took my breath away. But what took my breath away even more was the owner of the company kind of arguing back with Joe. Because like I said, he's a force and you kind of do what he says. And so it was interesting to see her arguing back, and they had a fun back and forth. And she really kept Joe on his toes in that episode. But I really think I don't want to say surprised me the most, but made me the most happy was our check-ins, our follow-ups, 3 months after every company was on the farm. Like I said, really hats off to them for being in for season one and not knowing what to expect. And I think a lot of them were, questioning their sanity while they were on the farm. But once they got back and, we across the board got emails and messages from all companies just telling us how transformative this experience was, but not only for their businesses, but for themselves personally. And I think that was something that I didn't expect, the personal part of it. I knew that we were going to do positive things for these businesses, but we had a lot of personal triumphs as well. We had one lady who has been smoking her entire life that hasn't had a cigarette now in, 4 months. So I think that those things also were very, they were just the cherry on top, from a producer's perspective to see that we really did change some lives out there.
Were there any concerns that the coronavirus the pandemic might impact the way not only you produced the program, but the way that Joe had to do his thing?
Definitely. This was actually something that was in development for quite a while because of the pandemic, and we finally were able to really start traveling to film the show late last year, late summer, early fall. And so it felt like a long time coming for sure, but there were definite concerns just for everybody's safety. We wanted to shoot the safest show possible. But I think the great part about this show is that it's from a COVID perspective, it was easy to shoot because we were outside doing hard stuff. So, I think we were at very low risk in that sense. So we were happy to finally be able to make this. But, yeah, it was definitely, of course, our concern and one of the reasons this, took a while to get off the pre-production ground just because we were waiting until it felt the safest to produce this.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that there are a number of takeaways that businesses, no matter mm-hmm. what size they are, how many employees they have, can use from this series. Give us one or two of them.
Yeah, I think there's so many takeaways, and I won't do them justice. You'll definitely have to watch and see Joe speak his Joeism. But I think, one of them is what we were talking about earlier with the mud, that like the details of your business matter. It matters that you know your business inside and out. It matters if you're the leader and you know that. And so that doesn't matter what size business you are, whether you're a business of 4 employees or 400, it's, you need to know your business inside and out so that you can be the leader and make the best decisions, because knowledge is power. And so I think that was a really big takeaway, is just that knowledge is powerful. So that was one, but there's so many Joeisms. I think, watching the show, like I said, I won't do it justice, so you'll have to tune in to see Joe really speak his Joeisms. I think right now, too, he's got leading up to this, if you follow his social media, he's spitting out words of wisdom right now about how to create resilient businesses. And I think that's one of his really key philosophies, is that if you can make yourself resilient, if you can make your business resilient, and that's what this farm does, right, is create resilience. It makes you go through hard things and teaches you and your brain that you can do hard things. So once you come out on the other side, you're like, oh, wow, I did this. That's a new point in your brain, a new reference point that you can go to. So when you're going through something hard, whether it's similar or not, your brain can be like, oh, I've done hard things. I can achieve that. And so this idea of resilience and making a resilient company is really, what the crux of this show is built on. And it's really one of Joe's core philosophies. And on his social media right now, he's doing, his 10 rules of building resilience. So he's got a lot of nuggets of wisdom, and we try to impart a lot of those during the show as well.
Final question, Nicole. If you get a second season, do you mm-hmm. see a crossover episode with Marcus, the owner of The Prophet? I mean, he, like Joe, is a pretty puts people through their paces to try to get their businesses back on track.
Oh, I would love it. Love it nothing more. Listen, CNBC is they create great business programming, and we would love nothing more than a crossover episode. And to see those two together would definitely be it would be fun, to say the least. I could see them really, really helping a business if they put their heads together, for sure. They have different modes and methods to reach businesses, but I could see it being really fun to have them two together.
Mm-hmm. Very strong-willed people, and very, very empowering
yes.
along the way, too. So the possibility there is quite remarkable. We will stay tuned on that. In the meantime, No Retreat Business Boot Camp. First episode is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on CNBC. Check your local listeners aware the network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and the network online, go to www.cnbc.com. It's www.cnbc.com. Nicole Elliott, executive producer of No Retreat, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations in advance on the launch of the show, and hopefully tomorrow night starts a great long run for it.
Thank you so much, Simon. Appreciate it.
Same here, Nicole. Take care. All the greatest. Nicole Elliott joining us live from Nashville, Tennessee. And, by the way, speaking of things down Southern Way, want to let you know that coming your way on Wednesday, virtually, but very close to South by Southwest, it's going to be going on in Texas later this month. It's Tony B's Media Festival, or yours truly, and a bunch of other people in the media, television and otherwise, will be coming your way virtually from coast to coast, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific time. I had the pleasure to tape record that wonderful conversation with Tony B. That's Tony Bolton, formerly an exec with Bloomberg Media. There's a lot of other wonderful stuff, too. He's got a great podcast going. And I got news for you. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. Looking forward to hearing all about it and maybe hearing from you down the road after. So check it out. Tony B's Media Fest starts Wednesday, March 9th, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, all virtual. And for more details about the event online, go to TonyBMediaGroup.com. That's TonyBMediaGroup.com. I promise you, it'll be worth the hearing. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, South by Southwest, great to be back in action down there. And it's great to see it be back in action with all sorts of TV, film, technology presentations. We've missed it the last 2 years. It's all been virtual. It's great to have it back in person, as the great Jimmy Durante used to say. So check it out. One more time, Tony B Media Fest, this Wednesday, March 9th, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, coast to coast and virtual. And for more details about how you can be involved, TonyBMediaGroup.com. Again, thanks, Tony, for giving me the opportunity to be in your wonderful festival, pre-South by Southwest. And in case you didn't know, we now have a new way to catch our program after it goes live, and that's on Vizio Smart TV sets to take Amazon Music. Amazon Music became part of Vizio's package of audio services on Friday. We're very thankful to both Amazon Music and Vizio for doing that. So if you're listening to us through your Vizio Smart TV set, we thank you for doing so, and we hope you make us a regular habit. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. It's the program about TV's current and future, and we are with you Mondays and Fridays at this very, well, not this very hour, but usually an hour earlier, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. Today is a special two-hour edition. We usually go 60, sometimes 90 minutes. And we hope to have some wonderful guests coming your way, because there are two more episodes happening this week, Wednesday and Friday. We usually do one triple header a week a month. So be sure to join us Wednesday and Friday, guests to come. So check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter for all details about the guests we've got coming up. And again, coming up next Monday, we will have Reset from last week, Tara Merchant, the Chief Executive Officer of Yada TV Network, coming to Smart TV Sets and Devices based here in New York. A very ambitious original entertainment lineup and a special community outreach as well. In case you don't know, Tara was supposed to be on our program last Friday. We learned late Thursday night that her father passed away unexpectedly. She is now in North Carolina. She's been there since Friday with her family. They're doing very, very well. They will be having the funeral service this week, and Tara will be with us next Monday, 1 week from today, here on Tomorrow Be Televised, and I promise you'll be worth the wait. And, of course, we give on behalf of not only our listeners, but also Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, all the podcast affiliates, our deep condolences to Tara Merchant and her family. Coming up in our next half hour, brand-new classic trivia questions. Stay tuned. We have two prizes in play. We have the Nailed-In Cookbook, Making Challenges for the Rest of Us, based on popular Netflix series. And now, part of our prize jackpot, the Blues Clues 25th Anniversary Notepad, courtesy of Nickelodeon. But first, we're going to showcase a new Home and Garden television series that premieres this Saturday night, earlier time, and definitely much worth the watching. It's called Build It Forward, where a group of people who do so much for their community get the renovation of their lives. In a moment, we'll be joined by the co-host and home renovator of the series, Matt Blashaw, and from Discovery, Senior Vice President Freddie James. So tell us about how the show was put together with the help of the very popular home improvement chain, Lowe's. That's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Hilltop Radio Show tomorrow and Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's a double dose of the Hilltop Radio Show over the next two nights, tomorrow and Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best be charged 24/7, youtube.com. That's where you can find it. Welcome back to our final half hour of this big two-hour extravaganza edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away on this Monday afternoon, the 7th of March, 2022. Sound I'm with you live from New York, 71 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Well, we have two more guests coming your way, and we invite you to be part of the program, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, Home and Garden Television is presenting a debut that we think may be one of the most important of the year. It's called Build It Forward, and it's about people who have done a lot for their community in recent years. You might say they're a very special community Samaritan, and they get the renovation of their lives. Well, joining us live right now from two separate locations are the two people that are involved in this show in a major way. First up, one of the co-hosts, he is a celebrated home renovator. Joining us live from Kansas City, Matt Blashaw. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And also joining us live here in New York is the Senior Vice President, Discovery, responsible for putting the show on the air, Freddie James. Hi, Freddie.
Hi, Simon. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So tell us how this program got started.
Well, you know, Lowe's has been a very important partner to HGTV from the very beginning. They were actually our very first advertiser many years ago. And their CMO met up with our chief revenue officer and the head of our lifestyle brands and started telling us about this initiative they had where they decided to, in celebration of their 100th anniversary, they were donating $10 million to 100 different what they called impact projects around the country. This is everything from women's shelters to youth centers to even schools in impoverished areas. But they wanted to give back and donate, $10 million spread across these 100 organizations in celebration of their birthday. And they thought, you know, wouldn't this make for a wonderful TV show? And we felt like, well, you know what, there is something here. You know, our audience is more accustomed to seeing home renovations than they are seeing, charitable spaces, if you will, renovated. But we decided, what if we could turn that on its head and twist it just a little bit to make it a little bit more home-friendly? And in that, we came up with the idea to find five individuals who are near and dear to five of these organizations. And in addition to what Lowe's is doing at their charitable organization, why not surprise them with a home makeover of their own? And the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we have somebody in our chat room, a very long name, by the way, Shabak Kashik Experahans. So, by the way, welcome to our chat. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. And by the way, we do have somebody, I think, who's on the line. We're going to get to that call in a second. But first, Matt, tell us how you decided to become involved with this project.
Yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. I got to team up with the very talented Tanya Nyack, who's with the network as well. And Freddie and the network, you know, they just called me and said, hey, we have this great show. It has these amazing people, amazing renovations. The logistics were pretty tough. So the logistics, it was all over the country. Texas, Albuquerque, Oakland. Went into Tennessee and then Syracuse, New York as well. So it was all over the country. But really, charity is really close to my heart. I have a charity of my own, Build for Love. I sit on the board of a couple charities. So I'm really into giving back. I've gotten so much from people, been given so much, and I just want to be able to give back. You feel so good doing it. So, you know, not only to be able to give back to these amazing people, but also to do what I love to do, and that's to build and to make some incredible renovations. And this show has it all, and that's what I love. You have people that have done so much good for the community. You have people that don't even think about themselves. And that was one of the hardest things about this show is trying to get out from the people what they want, because we're working with people that don't ask for anything. They only give. So to be able to give back and to see their faces and all of the people that they work with as well in their charities come to help build the houses for them as well. It was just such a pleasure, such a dynamic show, and such a great sponsor in Lowe's that it was just there from the beginning and doing so much good for this community. It was just an honor to be a part of it, and I'm really excited for people to see it this Saturday.
All right, let's see if we have a call, and if so, we will take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. All right, hold on for a second. I think we do have another caller who is also waiting, so let's see if we get that person. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. How you doing? Yeah, this is Shabaka Sankore. I'm the executive producer of the podcast, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And, you know, and I appreciate, you know, the art and sciences of filmmaking and what have you, because, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, California, and as we all know, that Hollywood is a section of the city of Los Angeles. But I was just saying is in regard to urban youth, we need to see more positive films about keeping a black family unit together, definitely keeping a black dad, you know, as the head of the household, mm-hmm. as opposed to black youth going wayward, you know what I'm saying, with this obscene behavior and self-destruction. And filmmaking could be a very, very positive way of doing this. And, you know, and I just want to give a shout out there to the memories of actresses like Ruby Dee, Cicely Tyson, Eartha Kitt, and what have you. And then the cold part about it is that the media itself, as you know, does control sometimes the narratives and the mindsets, you know, of youth and what have you. So it's kind of like I would just like to see some more films, you know, dealing with black life, something of like up on the positive aspect of it.
I totally get that. I really appreciate your comments. I'm going to sort of use as a question to both Freddie yeah. and to Matt. What effort was there in terms of selection of the people whose homes are renovated in terms of trying to have Samaritans of color or to have a diverse lineup of people who would get these renovations?
Well, it was very important in our decision-making, but that sort of is the case across the board for all of our HGTV shows, because we always want to make sure we're showing a mirror to our audience so that they can see people who look like them and have stories like them. And so that was a very important part of our story on many levels. I mean, we have, we've got diversity in terms of the regions of the country. We wanted to touch the South. We went up North. We went to the West. We wanted to make sure we did that. We have a couple of African American people who have given back that were surprised with home makeovers. We have one of our homeowners is a transgender woman who at the age of 13 was kicked out of her house, and she was homeless, and she got into a life of incarceration. She went to jail, and she found this organization in Albuquerque called Crossroads for Women that actually helps women who have faced incarceration get back up on their feet with support and with other resources. And fast forward several years, and she has made it through the program successfully, and not only that, she's actually a mentor and a counselor at the very program that that helped her out. And so when we worked with Lowe's to dig in and find, you know, of the 100 organizations they selected, how can we find five really, really rich stories? And Lowe's had quite frankly done their homework on all these organizations. They presented us with a few of these stories. And we found a story like that where that person is already back helping in the very organization that helped her. We thought no one is more worthy than someone like that to be surprised additionally with a great home renovation, and Matt gave it to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jabak, I want to let you know that one of the things that our program from the get-go, and we've been doing this show now for over 14 years, has been committed to is showcasing diversity, whether it is showcasing producers, writers, director of television programs of color, both fiction and nonfiction, as well as mm-hmm. people of color who are launching new networks, whether they are on cable or through smart TV sets or smart TV devices and multicast. You mentioned
right.
Cicely Tyson. I was very proud that when we did our show on when it was simulcast on television through, at that time, it was called Brooklyn Independent Media, we had a segment with the executive producer of The Trip to Bountiful, the lifetime adaptation of that famous play with Cicely Tyson's marvelous performance. And we showed a clip
okay.
from that. I'm a big Cicely Tyson fan. She passed away last year. She
right.
got a start in television with East Side, West Side, one of the most brilliant television series ever made in New York. And I will say to the dying day that I thought she should have won the Oscar for Stand Up. That was one of the great
performances, absolutely.
By the way.
Now, I'm glad you – no. Okay, if I must say, Sounder, okay, now that there was made in the year 1972, and as you know, that there was dealing at the time where they had the genre of the quote-unquote black exploitation films like The Max, Superfly, Shaft, and things of that nature right there, and it was coming up with what they would call the quote-unquote urban lifestyle, but I'm hearing a lot of derogatory terms and things like that, but as Miss Tyson has said off in her book, Just As I Am, when she was auditioning for the part of Rebecca to do the part Sounder, excuse the expression, you know, a white producer had came up to her to said that only thing that NGRs want is sex and violence and gang culture, and we plan to give them a whole belly full. And one thing I do appreciate about Ms. Tyson and Ozzie Davis's wife, Ruby Dee, you know, they did not do those derogatory parts. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and then I'm going to let you go. And I appreciate you definitely for having me on my show, on your show. Now, what do you think about the Oscar Mishra?
I'll take one more question because obviously we want to make sure that we get a lot of time with our guests from Build It Forward on HGTV. So go ahead, one more question.
Yes, sir. Okay, what do you think of Paul Ropes, an early movie filmmaker and playwright, mm-hmm. by the way?
One of the greats, one of the giants. When I was at school at American University, I saw the Paul Robeson play that was done by James Earl Jones. It was one of the most amazing afternoons I've spent in a Broadway or Broadway-type theater. It was at Ford Theater and with a wonderful friend at the time. And I have to tell you, that was one of the most moving experiences I've ever seen. I learned a lot about Paul Robeson from that play, and I thought when James Earl Jones, as Robeson, had everybody sing We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder, is one of the most amazing moments of theater, of live theater I've ever seen. And I've seen his film since then. I am a big admirer of Robeson and what he did.
Okay.
And the fact that he always tried to do screen roles that were not beneath him, but were roles that showcased the quality of his talent, given the time that it was in movies at the time. And I wish he could have done more. I wish that the environment at the time was such that we could have seen the full breadth of his talents more often.
Yes, sir. Okay, all right. Thank you so very, very much for having me on your show. And I'm going to make a note of your podcast right here, and I will be checking with you from time to time.
Please do. And by the way, again, next Monday we're going to have Tara Merchant from Yana TV Network. I think you're going to be very interested in what she's going to be doing with that service.
Yes, sir.
Because she is out to cause a lot of very exciting programming. It's diverse and as produced here in New York.
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Shabaka. Take care. Shabaka's joining us live. In a very unexpected, I think a very good and empowering way here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Matt, what was it like for you and your colleague to do these renovations? How much time did you have to do these home renovations? And what's sort of like the science of making it work, especially for these people who have done so much for their community?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, unlike any show I've ever done, typically, the homeowners pretty well. You get a sense of their style, their taste. And, you know, first of all, this was a surprise. We surprised these amazing people. They were really given their names by the charities. Lowe's was able to pick them out. So they had no idea that we were coming. So trying to plan a renovation to someone that we have really don't have anything about, know nothing about, was challenging. But what we loved about it, I think Tanya and I, what we just absolutely loved is not only getting to know the charity and what they do, but also getting to know the person. their struggles, how they started. And we're talking some incredible people. Mary Nelson in Syracuse, New York is one of the greatest stories that we had. You know, she started as a nurse and worked as a nurse full time, but saw a need in the inner city for these kids that, you know, were trying to figure out how to buy school supplies, and just started really simply and really small, and now has grown to her own Mary Nelson Center, giving haircuts and education and food, and it has just grown over the years. I mean, really, she's really building it forward in her community. So to be able to see her story and her backstory and how these incredible angels, we call them angels of our society, have just figured out, hey, what am I going to do for other people? How could I better my place where I'm at right now, which is very, you know, especially in this day and age, is sometimes hard to find these people. It was absolutely incredible. And so the build that I typically do, we love building, we love designing. Tanya's incredible at it. But to be able to have build with a purpose, I think, was the best part. To be build knowing that these people are going to absolutely love it. They're going to absolutely love not only the renovations. And what was really funny about it is that, you know, like Mary Nelson, she loved to cook, and she had a kitchen that just did not work. I mean, she just wanted to bring all of her family. She never said a word about herself. All she wanted to do was bring all her family and all her friends. She couldn't wait to bring them into the house. And for us to create an open floor plan that connected the kitchen to the living room was just incredible for her. And she came in and she had tears of joy just knowing and just thinking about her family and her friends and everyone that she could feed in that house. So something unlike I've ever experienced before, something that I know the home audience is really going to connect to. And you get to learn about these charities as well, and learn about what they do and maybe how you can help and maybe some inspiration behind them to help you better the communities as well. So such a good-hearted show, and we're just so proud and so happy to be a part of it.
And the program we're talking about is called Build It Forward. It's on this Saturday night, the first of 5 episodes. It's on Home and Garden Television. And note the time, 6 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. It's 6 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. We're talking with the co-host and the home renovator on the series, Matt Blashaw. He joins us live from Kansas City. And from New York, Freddie James, the Senior Vice President of Discovery, the parent company of HGTV, that put the show together in association with one of their key sponsors, Lowe's, the great home improvement chain. And they're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Navon with you live from the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment on many moments with both our guests, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple041N. And before we wrap things up at the top of the hour, we've got a new classic trivia question for you. Stay tuned. You could win the Nailed It Cookbook from Netflix and from Nickelodeon, the Blue's Clues 25th Anniversary Notepad. They're coming your way if you've got the answer to our next classic trivia question. We'll highlight it for the first time in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Tanya, your colleague in renovation doing, we also see her on Restaurant Impossible regularly on Food Network, where she works with Robert Irvine. I'm curious,
right,
Tanya, how much of a shift was it to go from what she does on that series to what she did for these programs?
You know, I think we were both trying to figure it out, right? Because, you know, she does, you know, she's doing a Battle on the Beach for HGTV right now, so she's kind of doing some design work there. She does really a lot of the restaurants, a lot of big corporate, but she's really highly diversified in terms of her style. And, yeah, that was definitely, you know, something that we didn't quite understand and know what exactly what they were wanting. I know that it's in terms of like a construction standpoint and contractor standpoint, some of the spaces that we worked with were real tricky. I mean, the homes were older, trying to make an open floor plan. You know, one thing led to another, as you know, in home renovation, you know, it just kind of, it lights a wick. And, you know, all of a sudden you got to move your HVAC unit. You got to move your water heater. So a lot of that stuff was pretty tricky. But we really spent a lot of time with these clients to figure out, okay, what do you want? What do they want? And, you know, Freddie was talking about our homeowner that was in Albuquerque, Christy, and she really wanted this Hollywood glam, and she was really into Hollywood glam and a dressing room, and so she kind of gave us this overriding kind of feel of what she wanted. So we went all out, and we made it fun, and Tanya really nailed it with that one, with some really golds and deep blacks and stuff that we've never seen, you know, not regularly on HGTV, really did something that was a wow factor. And so we had to work outside our box a little bit, and we had to work fast. The team was absolutely incredible. Freddie over at the network, Freddie James, and all of the amazing executives that put this together. It was not an easy show, especially during, you know, all the travel and what we had to do. There was a ton of travel, a lot of logistics, and it wasn't an easy show. But we all worked together and really to make it really special for them, because this is one moment in their life. This is something that is so very important to them, is that home. And even some of these people, this is their very first home. Christy in Albuquerque, that was her very first home she ever bought. Mary Nelson in Syracuse, her very first home she has ever bought. And so we are dealing with just some incredible people that have these circumstances that we wanted to make it extra special for them and their family. So I think I stretched my fabric, and I know for Tanya, she did as well. I know that we've both taken so much from this. I know that we were giving back to the community, but they gave right back to us in the understanding of how just absolutely selfless these people are and what kind of an impact you can make in the community. And Nadine, who is out in Oakland, she, as a college student, as 18 years old, as a college student, she saw the need for these battered, you know, these women that were abused and saw, hey, they're homeless. What can I do for them? So at 18 years old, this woman started a charity. I can't even imagine what I was doing at 18 years old. It was the last thing on my mind was starting any kind of charity. And this woman has now done it for years and has helped, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And I think one of the coolest parts when people watch this episode in Oakland, we walked into her house, and it was just, of course, there was a lot of things. There was a lot of clutter, but we noticed these files that were all in her house. She had these file cabinets everywhere. And she kept a file of every woman that she has ever helped and keeps them right in her home, because that's how much she loves them and cares for them. And we just looked at it. I mean, it still gives me goosebumps just to think about it right now, is that she is just so much, just encompasses love. And those women that she helps don't just go in one door and out the next. They stay with her. And it's just really incredible to see how these people work. And I think that was something that we will always take with us for the rest of our life. And it wasn't just a build anymore. It was something completely different. It transcended any kind of home renovation.
Yeah. Freddie, we have about 90 seconds to go. And there is more to this program than just running on Home and Garden Television. In fact, it's a multi-platform deal.
That's right. It's going to be airing concurrently on – it's going to launch concurrently over on our D+, our streaming channel. So you can check it out there starting on Saturday as well, each episode one a week for the next 5 weeks. And also on our Spanish-speaking U.S. channel, Hogar, the HGTV Home Improvement Spanish-speaking channel here in the U.S. is going to be there as well. So we've got it in many places. We're also streaming a digital series, a mid-form series called Build It Forward. I always get the tagline, Making Good.
Making Good.
Build It Forward, Making Good. It's a mid-form series that will also be online, and so that will be an opportunity to see a deeper look at the charity makeovers that Lowe's contributed to, while the show itself is a little bit more focused on the home makeover. So you get the full picture by tuning in on all of these platforms.
And I also want to point out before we move on that you can also see episodes of the show on Facebook, on Twitter, on TikTok, and Instagram. And that will be as of either during this weekend or shortly after. Again, the name of the program is Build It Forward. It will premiere this Saturday, March 12th. Note the special time, 6 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. That's 6 p.m. East Pacific time on Home and Garden Television. Then it will be later on Discovery Plus, which is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And we also should point out that the show is produced by Departure Films in association with Lowe's, the famed home improvement chain. Check your locals where HGTV or Home and Garden Television is in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online and also to see the special digital series, Build It Forward, Making Good, HGTV.com. That's HGTV.com. And again, The episodes will be running as well on social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, and at least over the weekend or starting Monday on Discovery Plus. Again, co-host Matt Blaschaw, Senior Vice President of Discovery, Freddie Game, thank you both very much for coming on the program. Congratulations on getting this show off the ground, and hopefully what starts off Saturday will be not only a great transformer for a lot of people who really deserve to be recognized as the Good Samaritans and the incredible charities that they are, but hopefully this will be a show that goes beyond just 5 episodes in 1 year.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Simon.
It. Thanks for having us.
You're very, very welcome, Matt and Freddie. Take care. All the greatest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matt Blaschaw joining us live from Kansas City, and Freddie James joining me here in New York. One final time, Build It Forward premieres this Saturday, March 12th, 6 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on HGTV. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, the brand new question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the Nickelodeon Blues Clues 20th Anniversary Notepad and the Nailed In Cookbook from Netflix. One of the most popular game show hosts on television during the 1970s, 80s, and 90s was Jeff Edwards. Some of his credits, The New Treasure Hunt, Jackpot, and Starcade. Here's the question. What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address, so if you're first with the correct answer, you win. Once again, the question, what was Jeff Edwards' game show? Again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's what you use if you've won already. Again, you're not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. This is UBC Simon TWT. However you want to win, get in the game now, and all the very, very best. Big thank you to all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. And this is just the first of 3 episodes we're doing on this triple header week. We'll be back on Wednesday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, also on Friday. And then next Monday, among our guests, we spent from last Friday, Tara Merchant, the Chief Executive Officer of Yada TV Network. She will join me here in New York. If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and Amazon Music. And don't forget, you can now catch us through Amazon Music on Vizio Smart TV sets. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our guest today? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and find me on social media, specifically Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate, don't forget we communicate back within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website services are provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. That's onpodium.com. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world, and it gives you the chance to listen to the good stuff. For a one-month trial and a free audiobook or two, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We're back on Wednesday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Whatever you do between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, make sure you see your doctor, get your medical history in order, find out about the alternatives you have in front of you, such as the new antiviral pills from Merck and Pfizer, and then make a good choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.